for two. Kickers are extra, I give them the boot. Ooh, going for two. Sit back, relax while I grab me a brew. Ooh, now I'm reclining while putting my time and I'm ready to go. My spine is aligning and much like my lineups, my bank account grow. I am so rich, but knowledge is all that I'm leaving here with. Ooh, listen to this. Multiple options, how far can I get? Ooh, DFS Dynasty redraft tonight, I'm not finishing last. I'm finishing past any and all, I am looking to last.
What else?
This spot is popping and I am so locked in, and only opening the door when it is opportunity knocking, and all of these spots keep on talking and talking. So what are we talking? What kind of alignment and running it deep? Even players forgotten or caving the bottom or hitting that topping, and this spot is popping. Yeah, this spot is popping and woo. This is the arm champ. Yeah. Put up your arms. Yeah. Sound the alarm. Yeah.
What's going on, guys, and welcome to episode 325 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I am your host, of course, Jeff Lambert, and you can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. We are live, of course, on the Going for Two Live Podcast Network. We're here every Wednesday night on Facebook Live, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch, and syndicated on all major podcast networks. If you're currently watching us on Twitter, we cannot see your comments in the chat, so go find us on YouTube. That is YouTube.com/@goingfortwolive, and then you can get into the chat role with us. I'm here with my co-host, as always, Mr. Ryan Searfoss. What's up, Ryan?
Oh, not much, man. Just glad to be here. Enjoying some nice weather for a change.
Absolutely.
It's my three good weeks of summer.
Yeah.
In Pennsylvania, so yeah. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, we had a high of 90 degrees today, so it was definitely it was warm today.
Yeah. I'm not leaving my house at 90.
All right, joining us tonight for the first time, Nicholas Young. He's the media director for Dynasty Pros, and you can follow him on Twitter at YoungStudFF. What's up, Nick?
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me on tonight.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So real quick, give my listeners a real quick rundown of what you do over at Dynasty Pros.
So pretty much I run all their podcasts, run their YouTube channel, growing their media base, things of that nature.
Good stuff. Yeah, like doing the background stuff. That's the stuff that not everybody gets to see, but that's some of the most important stuff for sure.
It's definitely fun.
Absolutely. All right, so let's get today's show. We'll go ahead and hit the live read first. This show, as always, is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Check out their best ball leagues with huge tournaments, private leagues, pick 'em for every major sport. Use our promo code GF2 to get a deposit match up to $100. It's as simple as that. Sign up using GF2 and then start drafting your best ball teams, which pretty soon here I'm going to be putting out a ton of Going for Two best ball leagues. So look for those on Twitter. You can join those. We had about, 30 or 40 of them last year that we ran. So if you want to get into one of those, just keep an eye on my Twitter. Tonight's show is going to be a pretty jam-packed show here. We'll kick it off with some news and notes. We haven't done news and notes in a while because, quite frankly, in the offseason, we got a lot of news that's not really news. But we've got some things to talk about tonight. So we'll do news and notes. We'll do spade or fade on some Superflex Dynasty rankings. We'll do a little bit of mailbag. But, of course, as always, kick it off with our nonsense draft.
Attention, everyone. Let's mock draft.
All right, so last week we did zoo animals for a battle royale. I started to stick with the same theme of a battle royale, but this time we are picking monster movie monsters for a battle royale. So all those classic movies, even some of the newer ones, any kind of monster that you want to have, and we're going to battle it out, the three of us. As always, the guest gets to go first. So, Nick, you got the 101 here. What you got?
You got to give me one of the classics. You got to give me Godzilla.
That absolutely, that's the 101 for sure. Because I mean, that the whole movie is basically, you know, back in the day, is built on him battling other monsters. So I mean, he's built for it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Godzilla would have been my 101 for sure. All right, I'm up at the 102 here, and man, Godzilla, that's hard to beat. I guess I'm gonna have to take, you know, obviously these two have been pitted against each other for years and years, but I'm gonna take King Kong here. I know there's been King Kong versus Godzilla movies made, so I'll take King Kong here at the 102. It's a pretty easy selection for me. Ryan, you get the unenviable third spot here. So who are you going
to
go with?
Dude, this is weird. I had no idea where to go on this. It being you have these huge, massive creatures. So I'm going to go completely other way. I'm going to go with the Predator. That's goes planet to planet across the galaxy hunting the most dangerous prey. While it lacks in size, it has the technology. It goes invisible. It can sneak right up Godzilla's back. It can sneak up on Kong. It plays dirty. It's got its boys. It's already killed Xenomorphs. Go with the Predator.
That is an excellent choice. I did not have him on my list. I don't know how I did not, but that's great. Great one there at the 103 for sure. Back to you, Nick, at the 104.
I'm a sci-fi nerd. You got to give me the Rancor from Star Wars.
Nice. That is another good one now, man. Yeah,
don't even talk about the Rancor. I still have like PTSD from playing Jedi Survivor and fighting two of them at once.
Yep.
Just nightmares from it.
Good stuff. All right. So I'm up here at the 105, and I'm going to go with... It's kind of cheating a little bit because it's more than just one monster. It's a mass of monsters and they multiply. I'm taking zombies, and I want the zombies that are like the run after you kind of, not the slow, you know, 80s type movies zombies. How about like the new zombies that can run? So give me some zombies here because then I can multiply and
so like World War Z.
Yeah, exactly. World War Z type zombies that just constantly run and can build those massive zombie, you know, things that can jump over walls and crazy shit like that. So yeah, I'm taking zombies here with my 105. Ryan, you got the 106.
So I didn't look up what they're... Oh my god. I was blanked at what they're called. Oh my god, what's the movie where they're all silent? Where they can't talk.
Oh,
it's completely blanked.
I can't think what they're called, but I know what you're talking about. I don't know.
Bird Box movie?
Yeah. Is it Bird Box?
No.
No, it's the other one. Bird Box was the one where you couldn't, yeah, you had to blindfold yourself.
A quiet place, right? Yeah, those things just demolished Earth in like days. And you make any sound, you're donezo.
Yeah, that's a good one. I didn't have that one either. I guess there's a lot more monster movies than I really thought about, but that's another good one here for sure.
There's so many, it's like just blanked.
All right, Nick, you're up here at the 107, your last pick. What you got?
Okay, I'm going to do a knockoff of Godzilla, the Pacific Rim Kaijus.
I don't even know what that is. You got to explain that one some more.
All right. So Pacific Rim, it's basically set in like Japan and all that stuff. And it's monsters the size of Godzilla. But in Pacific Rim, they have robots there the size of them that fight basically Godzilla.
Nice. That's pretty. I didn't even know what that one was. And I'm quickly trying to search here. I can't remember what the name of the movie was called. I thought I had it written down, but I didn't because... I'm not prepared tonight. What's that movie? God, it's going to bother me now so I can think of it. You never actually see the monster in the movie. They're in New York City.
Oh, Cloverfield.
Cloverfield. That's the one. Yeah, I want the monster from Cloverfield. I have no idea what it looks like. I'm just assuming it's big as hell. So I'll take the Cloverfield monster here with my last pick at the 108.
My body had to run out of that movie to throw up because of the shaky cam.
Oh yeah, because it did like that was a good movie. Yeah,
it was bad. Might have been kicking a hangover. Who knows? For the last pick, I'm gonna go straight 1990s style and go with the Tremors. Anytime you touch the ground, they pop up and munch on you. I'm going with them. Different form of attack.
It reminds me when I was in high school when that movie came out. There was one line in there where he's like, "I found the ass end," and me and my friends used to say that shit all the time in school. It was just hilarious. All right, that wraps up our monster movie draft. Let's go ahead and get to some news and notes.
News and notes from around the league.
All right, the first one here is kind of a big one, and I'm going to go to you first, Nick. DeAndre Hopkins, of course, you know by now, has been cut. You know, obviously, the Bills and the Chiefs are supposedly the front runners here. I'm going to ask you, one, do you think he ends up on the Bills or the Chiefs? And then what do you think it does to his dynasty value, and how does it affect the other players that are on those teams?
I mean, ultimately, they're going to have to get their cap space figured out if they want to be able to afford him, because I think the Chiefs have, what is it? Less than $5 million in cap space,
dude. They have 1.099.
Yikes!
And the Bills have 1.493.
Jeez. I mean, if they can find a way to afford him, I think it's naturally it's going to help him. Arguably, I mean, it's no argument. Pat Mahomes is the best quarterback he'll play with. Same with Josh Allen. No matter where he goes, it's better than anything he's had so far.
Yep.
So, I mean, it will help him naturally. I think he'd have better results with the Chiefs versus going up against, like, Diggs at the Bills, but I don't think it's going to hurt him no matter what.
Yeah, the moment that I already got cut, that's immediately who I thought of was the Chiefs. I was like, if they can find a way to restructure some contracts, you know, pay some, you know, turn some salary into those bonuses, signing bonuses, and see what they can do to get D-Hop there, that was immediately who I thought about. What about you, Ryan? What do you think of as far as the two teams that are front runners here?
I mean, the Chiefs makes them, they both should give whatever they can to try to get them there because they both need that receiver. Because Diggs can only do so much by himself. And I mean, Chiefs are probably better off now, but it'd just be so huge for that offense.
Yeah.
I'd love to see just a younger team kind of try to make that move, though. Like, who has money, could probably overpay him just so he could be the guy there.
Is there a dark horse team that you think could step in here and take him away from those two guys? I think the Jets can convince him to go there with Aaron Rodgers.
I hope not. Oh, God, that'd be so bad for fantasy.
Yes, it would
why,
be.
Why would you even say that? Dude.
I've heard the Browns, too. Jamie's in the chat. I've heard the Browns is another option as well.
I heard the Giants can make a strong push.
Yeah, I can see the Giants.
I think the Bears got $32 million. They should just throw that around, but I doubt it's going to happen.
Yeah, that'd be tough because I think he wants to go to a contender. I don't know if you can consider the Bears a contender right now.
No.
So let's just say he goes to the Chiefs, Nick. What does that do for the receivers that are already there, and does it affect Travis Kelce at all?
I mean, off the top of my head, their top two wide receivers there are Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney, who are arguably unproven still.
Yeah, arguably is not even it's not even arguably, they're unproven, period.
Right. So, I mean, I think if anything, it's going to help them. They're not going to draw the one like they would if it's just the two of them. They can grow, get better. So, I mean, why not?
Yeah, that's a good...
As far as Travis...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
As far as Travis goes, I mean, Travis and Pat have that connection. I mean, do I think he's going to draw all the targets like he used to? No. But I don't think it's going to hurt him in the way that we're considering it.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. And actually, I hadn't even really thought about, you know, those two receivers you mentioned, Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney, are probably better off as complementary receivers, not as the number one.
Yeah.
So you put D-Hop there. You obviously have Travis Kelce in the middle. And then those two guys can, you know, be the ancillary pieces in that offense that you don't really see coming. You're too worried about stopping D-Hop, stopping Kelce. And then all of a sudden, you know, these guys that are, you know, quick, fast guys can break out. So, yeah, that's a really good point there. What about you, Ron? Are you in the same mindset as that?
I don't think anything happens to Kelce. Like, Kelsey's going to get his. I agree, though. I think D-Hop helps one of those receivers. I don't know specifically which one. I'd assume Toney because I think he's the better target of the two. But I think he opens up the world for him. And we see a much bigger season out of him because of it. But other than that, I think it's just spread out.
Yeah, it could be one of those situations, too, where, like, you mentioned that you don't know which one it's going to be. It could be a game-to-game type thing, you know, where each game it can be the other one. You never know who it's going to be, and that'll be frustrating, dude, for fantasy owners.
He spread the ball out. I don't honestly say Mahomes probably looked his best last year without that legit number one receiver.
Yeah.
As weird as it is to sound, and I like him spreading the ball out more.
We got the Chiefs fan in here. He says, yeah, we don't have a wide receiver one. Mike says he's obviously a Chiefs fan.
Yes, you do. Travis Kelce is the wide receiver one.
Yeah, he basically is.
Yeah.
He's a wide receiver one for to me. He's a wide receiver one for 90% of the league.
Yeah, 100%
agree. So, Mike.
Yeah, I know. We don't have a receiver one. Oh, yeah, but by the way, we got two championships in the last 3 years. I think y'all are okay. All right, let's move on to the next note here. Breece Hall, the Athletics' Zach Rosenblatt said it would be surprising if Breece Hall is ready for day one of training camp. So not week one of the season, but just day one of training camp. As an owner of Breece Hall, Nick, are you worried about this news at all?
Not overly. I mean, we've seen guys not be ready day one of training camp. They come in halfway through, and they're perfectly fine by season start. So I'm not overly concerned.
Ryan, are you in the same boat here?
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. If we start hearing news like we heard with J.K. Dobbins last year, how things keep getting pushed and pushed and pushed, and there's no real answers, then I'm concerned. As we are sitting right now, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm almost, because I do own Breece Hall in my most important league, my home league, and quite frankly, I hope he doesn't play at all in the preseason, training camp, none of it. Just get him to week one and let him be healthy. I don't want him getting hurt or re-injured himself.
You want to get him to see a couple reps in.
Yeah, a little bit of reps. Yeah, I want to see him get on the field a little bit just so I can get that confidence that he's actually going to be okay, because you're right. I want to see him, but I don't want to see him play too much. Definitely don't overwork him. Don't do anything unnecessary with him.
No. If it's dynasty, man, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, agreed. All right. Speaking of Kadarius Toney, ESPN's Jeremy Fowler said the Chiefs believe Kadarius Toney can be a number one type receiver. If we assume that D-Hop does not end up there, Ryan, do you think Toney has the ability, if he can stay healthy, to be a number one?
He could be their number one. Not
just by default.
Number one. I think it's the semantics of this. Like, fantasy-wise, he could be a low-end wide receiver 2 or a wide receiver 3. He could be a number one for them, not for, like, fantasy. Like, it's all relevant with how you say that. He's still number two with Kelsey there, but I see how they can use him. He could be their number two guy in targets because of his run after catch, and he brings a little bit different.
Yeah, I'm with you there. What about you, Dick? What are your thoughts on Toney being a number one?
I can agree that he could be like their number one, but he was originally drafted to be the Giants' number one, and he proved that wasn't possible.
Yeah.
So why are we going to think it's any different?
He was injured.
What? Yeah, but that's part of it. That's part of being a number one. If he can't stay on the field.
And don't get me wrong, I love Andy Reid, love the Chiefs. You got to look at the player too. I mean, didn't he have question marks coming out of college, and he was surprising to be in the first round pick?
Dude, yeah.
Yeah, and if you look at Andy Reid's offense traditionally, outside of the Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce years, he typically only had one good receiving fantasy option in all of his offenses. He usually had a really good running back, and then he had one receiver. You know, obviously in Kelce's case, it's a tight end, but... So I don't know if they even need to support two guys, if they have, you know, Kelce and then, you know, a combination of other guys, kind of like they did last year, where it's just a little bit of everything each week. You know, who you're going to get. Is it going to be Juju or whoever else is that, Hardman or whatever? But I think the same thing with Toney and with Sky Moore, and they drafted a guy this year. They can all kind of fill that.
And they still have MVS is still there, too.
MVS is still there, too. Yep.
They got a lot of weapons, man.
Yep. And then,
like, unless they're seeing Toney how he used to see, like, Jeremy Maclin.
Right.
Like, with that similar skill set and like a use like that for him. I just, fantasy wise, it's still question marks. He's great. I think he's great to have, but I'm not putting all my chips on him.
Yep. All right. Let's just get to one more here. This one's kind of a big one. If you own any piece of the Vegas Raiders, Jimmy Garoppolo, there's a whole rumor with his whole injury that he had that he could be released basically with no penalty. From his foot injury from 2022, they don't really have a quarterback beyond Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, I don't even know the guy that's back there right now. It's a rookie named Aiden or something like that, because Stidham's no longer there either. If you own any piece of the Raiders offense, Nick, how worried are you about Jimmy G not being there potentially?
I'm worried. Ironically enough, I actually made a TikTok the other day saying that Jimmy Garoppolo's tenure in Vegas is over before it even started.
Yes. Yeah.
I think their backup is Brian Hoyer, if I remember correctly.
Oh, is Hoyer there now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's the rookie that's there? Or maybe it's the second year.
Aiden O'Connell.
Aiden O'Connell. Yeah, that's who I was thinking of. Yeesh.
It's a bad situation there in general.
Yeah. Ryan, what do you do with guys that you like there? Some of the receivers, and even with Josh Jacobs for that matter.
I don't like anybody there outside of Josh Jacobs with Jimmy G. Like, Jimmy G's a game manager. I know we saw the game manager thing work for them, but I don't like it as is. Josh Jacobs is going to get ran into the ground.
Yeah.
Like, you might get a good year at him fantasy-wise, but I don't – long-term, it's going to be rough.
Yeah, I really think it would depend on the type of offense that they're going to run there. I think Davante Adams is one of the best receivers at getting open, and Jimmy G can hit you when you're open. That's the one thing that Jimmy G could do. Unfortunately, when you got pressure on Jimmy G as a Niners fan, he panicked and threw the ball to the other team quite often. But I think if Jimmy G's there, I think I'm not too worried about with Adams. I think he still gets his. Maybe not quite the extent that he did last year, but I think he still gets his. Josh Jacobs will still be good. But without Jimmy G, those passing options are going to be quite ugly. I don't know what they would do. Brian Hoyer is not the answer, that's for sure. And I can't believe they had no backup plan for this, for Jimmy G. You know, they had no way of out of, you know, getting out of this if this was to happen. They didn't run the physical or anything. It's kind of crazy to me that this is a situation that's happening now with the Raiders.
I mean, they're going from a top 12 draft pick to a top 3 without Jimmy G.
Yeah.
So like, they're going to be batter guards, but they're going to be in that hunt next year for Caleb Williamson.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. All right. That wraps up news and notes. Let's get to our next segment.
Spade or fade.
All right. It's a segment we haven't done in a while. Spade or fade. Basically, we're going to look at some ADP for Superflex Dynasty Leagues. We're going to use DLF ADP currently. And we're going to go round by round, looking at, the top 12 and then the next 12 after that. And we're going to pick one or two guys that are spades, basically guys that are excellent value at where their ADP is, and a couple guys that are going to be fades that were just at that ADP. We just don't want to pay that price. I'm going to go ahead and bring up the ADP so we can see it on screen. So let's look at these top 12 guys here, Ryan, first. I'll name them off real quick. They're almost all quarterbacks at Superflex. You got Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Justin Jefferson, Trevor Lawrence, Fields, Chase, Bijan, and Dak Prescott. Is there anybody in this range that you think is a spade, someone that you think is going a little bit too late that you like at the ADP?
Honestly, not really. I think, like, quarterback-wise, I like where Trevor Lawrence is, and I think you'll see him, and like Fields is. But I feel like this first round's the most chalk it's ever been right now for Dynasty.
Yeah. Yeah.
I might, like, personally, I might not take Dak where he is at the end of the first round, but it makes sense to do it. I just personally don't think I would, but like, there's literally no complaints or anything shocking to me in this round. As boring as an answer as it is.
Yeah.
I could lie, but
yeah.
It's every draft I've been in, it's been these players in a somewhat similar order.
Yep.
The quarterbacks in whatever order with Jefferson and Chase sprinkled in.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, this is pretty much chalk there. I mean, there's not really anything that stands out to me. Like you mentioned, I do like Trevor Lawrence and his spot there, because I think he has the upside to move into that top tier, you know, with a good season this year. I think he could do it, and you're getting him at QB7. But at the same time, I'm not taking him over the quarterbacks that are in front of him. So I'm only taking him at that spot. So that doesn't really make him a spade. It makes him sort of where he should be ranked, I believe. Let's flip it to you, Nick. Pick either a spade or a fade, or is it pretty much the same where you don't really feel like there's any kind of one that stands out here?
I mean, I can make the argument Jamar Chase at 10 is a little bit of a steal, just because I've seen him go as early as 7 in some drafts.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen him go before Lamar Jackson, but that's about it. It's just maybe Jamar Chase a little earlier. Nobody, I would say, sink down from where they're at.
Yeah, and a lot of that's just team building and how you like to build your team.
Yep. Yeah, I agree there. I think there's not really any spades or fades for me. I think the fade that Ryan mentioned, you know, and that's not really a fade, Dak Prescott there at the last pick in the first round. That's just personal preference. But I think you're fine there with Dak. Let's go ahead and move into the second round. We might get a little bit more to look at here, and I'll just name them off here real quick. We got CeeDee Lamb, Deshaun Watson, Anthony Richardson, the rookie, A.J. Brown, Kyler Murray, Bryce Young, Jonathan Taylor, Garrett Wilson, C.J. Stroud, Tua Tagovailoa, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Jalen Waddle. Nick, I'll go to you first. Anything there that you see as a spade, someone you like their value there?
Amon-Ra right there at the end. I like him and Jalen Waddle both. personally, I think Anthony Richardson, where he's at, is a freaking travesty.
Yeah, is he a fade at QB 11, you think, for you?
Right there, yeah, 100%. Like, early second round, 100%. I'm not taking him that high.
Yeah, it was surprising for me as well. I think it's a little bit of rookie fever right now. Everybody's getting really excited on him. But I like, at least the way I like to do it in my startups, is I want to stay somewhat safe with my first couple of picks there. And I think the ceiling for Richardson is through the roof, right? I mean, he could, you know, mm-hmm. he could be that through the roof rushing quarterback with the passing upside. But the floor is zero. I mean, he could basically bust out in 2 years and be out of the league, or at least be a backup, depending on how he plays. So yeah, that's a risky pick there for me. What about you, Ryan? Anything you see here, fade?
I immediately went to complain about Anthony Richardson. I don't have a problem with him at QB 11 per se. I have a problem with him at 15 overall. Just because, again, as a team building thing, like, you don't want your second round pick to be a question mark, especially if this is like kind of how the draft went. And at that point in the draft, they're not taking a quarterback there with ADP, and you're pairing him as your quarterback one. That's just horrendous. And you're swinging for a home run or strikeout on your entire next 3 years, missing on a pick like that early. I think Jonathan Taylor is a nice value at 19. Because, I mean, I know not people don't like to build with running backs, but while Anthony Richardson's a huge question mark, if he's starting, he opens up the world for Jonathan Taylor, because running quarterbacks just open the field up. We've seen it time after time. I mean, we just saw that in Chicago, where you had a platoon of scrubs look good with Justin Fields. Anthony Richardson's that kind of athlete. So I kind of love Jonathan Taylor there.
Yeah, I agree. I think Taylor stands out to me as well. RB2, 19 overall. And, you know, just to go back to Anthony Richardson, some of the guys that I would take over him would be guys like A.J. Brown, Jonathan Taylor, Garrett Wilson, and the two guys that Nick mentioned. I'd take both of them over him, too. Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jalen Waddle, which they go at the end of the second round.
I think Bryce Young over him, too.
Oh, yeah, Bryce Young as well. Yep. Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. I think if this is a startup, I'm taking Bryce Young over AR in a rookie draft. It's the opposite, exactly.
Yep.
All right, let's move into the third round here. Let me scroll down till we get to the third round, and I'll just name them off real quick. So Daniel Jones, Christian McCaffrey, Chris Olave, Breece Hall, Saquon Barkley, Jahmyr Gibbs, Kyle Pitts, T. Higgins, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Travis Etienne, and Drake London. Ryan, I'll go to you first. You got any spades here in the third round?
Dude, Barkley. We just saw Barkley get opened up last year and him be healthy and just get stronger and stronger. I love him there. We saw Drake London's a pretty good pick there at 11 or 36 too, with his targets he got at the end of the year, with double-digit targets in like six of his last seven games. There's a lot. I like those a lot. And then on the spade, Daniel Jones is a stretch for me there.
Yeah, top of the third round.
Top of the third round's a stretch. I know he balled out and they improved his weapons, but long-term option, man, I don't like that. Like, you're just taking because you're desperate to get a quarterback.
Yeah, and looking at this round, too, this is like a round where I either want to trade up into, or if I could trade back and get a couple picks in this third round, because I like a lot of the guys in this third round. This is a place where I think I would like to live in.
Yeah, and if I had that early third round pick the way it is with Daniel Jones, McCaffrey in that spot, I might trade back, because fourth round's pretty stacked, too, and if you can accumulate picks doing this, I would.
Yeah, agreed. What about you, Nick? What you got here for a fade or a spade?
Spade. I gotta go T. Higgins at 32. I get people were saying that with Jamar Chase there, he was gonna see his numbers go down. They stayed relatively the same.
Yeah.
And getting him towards the end of the third round for me is a steal. And I gotta go with y'all on the Daniel Jones being right there at the beginning of the third. I don't believe it for a second.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with y'all both on Daniel Jones. I mean, the very first pick in the third round, I get it, Superflex. I get it, quarterbacks are inflated. But that's just a little too rich for me. There's guys that would definitely take over him, like Chris Olave. Ryan mentioned Barkley. I'd take him over him. Christian McCaffrey, I would even probably take over him. He's a little bit older. I think I'd take him over Daniel Jones. Yeah, that top of the third round is just a little bit too rich for me. As far as Spade goes, for me, it was tough. I like Drake London. Ryan kind of mentioned him already. But then the rest of those guys, I kind of think they're kind of where they should be. You know, you mentioned T. Higgins. I do like T. Higgins a lot as well. Another fade for me, though, honestly, would probably be Jahmyr Gibbs, RB6. That's a little bit too high for me. The history of the Lions running backs is not really good. I get it. He's me a pass catcher. I get it. He could, you know, he could be that next guy. But I mean, we've seen that quote unquote next guy every year for the Lions, and it just never seems to happen that way. So Jahmyr Gibbs would be sort of a risky one there at RB6 and 30th overall. I don't think I would spend that high of a draft capital one on Gibbs there. Let's see. Oh, Jamie's got a comment. He says Higgins has been consistently getting 110 targets, but the past 4 years, Boyd has been consistently decreasing. That's right. Yeah, it's basically become a two-man thing now. It's Chase and Higgins for sure. There's no more.
Yeah, they would have won the Super Bowl if they had if Boyd was playing. That's what he said.
All right, let's take a look at the fourth round here. Let me scroll down and get the fourth round pulled up here. Fourth round, we got right at the top, we got Devonta Smith, Ken Walker, DK Metcalf, Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs. Then we got Najee Harris, Kirk Cousins, Mark Andrews, Jordan Love, rookie receiver Jaxon Smith-Njigba there at 46, Josh Jacobs, and then we finish off the fourth round with Jared Goff. Ryan, I'm going to go to you, and I think I already know where you're going to go with this one because it stood out to me the moment I saw it, and we talked about it before on the podcast, but let me hear your thoughts here. Who's your spade in this round?
Do you think I'm going to get Najee Harris?
That's what I was thinking.
I mean, yes, but there's a lot of, like, I love JSN where he's at wide receiver 16 when he has wide receiver one potential. Mark Andrews is still going to be a target hog regardless in Baltimore, and you're locking up tight end position there. And I kind of don't love Kirk Cousins there. I like the idea of Jared Goff more than Kirk Cousins in those spots. Like, if their spots are flip-flopped with their offenses, I'd rather the Goff side on there. So I'm not as in on him.
Fair enough. Yeah, I thought for sure you'd go Najee at RB9, maybe.
It's one of those things I think I've talked about too much. I don't need to.
Fair enough.
Because I think he's one of the best values in fantasy right now.
Yeah, fourth round on Najee Harris is pretty much insane. RB9 actually isn't too bad. But fourth round, I think, is where I'm kind of like, I think I'd probably take him a little bit sooner than that. I do like Najee Harris. What about you, Nick? You got a spade here?
Spade, I got to agree with Najee. I mean, I'm not even the hugest of Najee fans, but getting him in the fourth round is absolutely insane to me. Because he was going, what, second round last year? Third round?
Bottom of the first in some leagues I was in.
So, I mean, getting him there is an absolute steal to me.
Absolutely.
As far...
Go ahead. Give me your fade. As far too.
As Jordan Love, I don't like him at the QB 18 spot.
Yeah, that's a little tough for me, too. I mean, I know at that
point... That one's gross. I think my eyes just didn't want me to see that.
You just overlooked it.
It's ugly. I mean, outside of Christian Watson, who are his proven... And you can't even really say Christian Watson's proven, but yeah. Who are his receivers?
Yeah, it's a little scary for sure. And we haven't seen Jordan Love really do anything great. I know he hasn't played much, but still, it's a big risk there. It's similar to the risk of taking AR in the second round. It's a risk taking Jordan Love here. So one that stood out to me as far as a spade goes is DK Metcalf at 39th overall, receiver 13. I don't see how there's any way in the world that he's not a top 12 receiver in Dynasty right now. He's still a beast. I don't know what people are looking at. I know they're all afraid of Geno Smith. You know, can he repeat what he did last year? Yada, yada, yada. But DK Metcalf is such a beast. And I think he's a little bit of a value at this point. I mentioned Najee Harris being one of my spades. One of my fades, besides Jordan Love, because he was one that I was looking at as well. Ken Walker at the top there, top of the fourth. Brian Ford of GoingForTwo.com has been harping that this whole Charbonnet thing is a real deal, and he actually predicts that it's a potential that Sharps can take the bulk of the work eventually by the end of the season. I don't know if I'm quite there yet, but I do think there's going to be enough of Charbonnet that Kenneth Walker is not going to be what we all hope that he's going to be. So there at the top of the fourth round, I might be drafting a receiver over him in this round. DK Metcalf being one of those guys, probably even Najee Harris over Kenneth Walker. Ryan, I saw you shaking your head there. Are you still a believer in Ken Walker?
Dude, yes. I don't even know how to get into this right now. I wasn't even mentally prepared for this. No, Ken Walker, they needed an RB2 because of the way they run the ball. Ken Walker's explosive. He has that second gear. He has a big play potential that while Sharps is solid, he's a pile pusher. They need that explosive element to their offense. And it, especially with the way their guys can go, their receivers are deep threats, spread open the field up. With those huge running lanes, you want that guy who can break off in 40-yard runs. And not just if you need five, he gets you five. You need three, he gets you five. You need 40, he gets you five. Like, no, I'm going to take Kenneth Walker's spot. The draft profiles are better off the bat. Ken Walker was proven last year. Let's quick it out of ourselves.
I got to send you an article that was written by somebody going for two, and it was not Brian, it was somebody else, but he had some pretty good stats on Kenneth Walker and why he was fading him. And he's a Kenneth Walker supporter. I'll have to send it to you. But yeah, it's at goingfortwo.com, and it's got some good stuff in there. And kind of gave me some pause on Kenneth Walker, that's for sure. All right, we talked about this round enough. Let's move down into the next round here. What are we at? We're in round five, is that right? I lost track.
Yep.
Yeah.
So round five at the top there, Austin Eckler, Davante Adams, Russell Wilson, Ramondre Stevenson, Michael Pittman and Debo, J.K. Dobbins at 55, Jordan Addison at 56. Geno Smith, Tony Pollard, Kenny Pickett, Nick Chubb, and Chris Godwin round out the fifth round. Nick, I'll go to you first. Give me one of your spades in this round.
Nick Chubb at the end of the round. I'm an absolute Nick Chubb. Like, I love the guy. I've drafted him every year for the past 3 years. If I can get him that late, I'm singing praises.
Yeah, I saw an article on Fantasy Pros, and I kind of laughed a little bit. The title of the article was Players on the Decline, and they had Nick Chubb listed there. I'm like, he's coming off a season where he had career-high rushing, tied a career-high for touchdowns. I mean, his efficiency was great. I don't know how you could say he's on the decline. I guess you could think, you know, he's getting to that point where he might be quote-unquote over the hill for a running back, but he just came off his best season. I can't really call him on a decline for sure.
I agree.
Ryan, what you got for a spade here?
Dude, J.K. Dobbins here. He's career 5-9 carry. He's done nothing produced. And his issue with Greg Roman's offense was he rotated running backs regardless of the situation. Who was hot, who was not, he just didn't care. And Todd Monken has given almost every single lead back over 60% of the rush attempts in his career's coaching. Dobbins is going to get fed. And if he's not, he's leaving Baltimore and he's forcing his way up. He's going to get fed this year, and we're going to see a lot of rushing attempts.
Yeah, good call. What about fade, Nick? You got a fade here in this round?
Nothing overly like stands out to me. Maybe Kenny Pickett, maybe put him down the next round. But that's the only thing that really like strikes out to me as needs to be lower.
Yeah. What about you, Ryan? Anything stand out here?
I want to say Michael Pittman. Can I say another spade?
Yep.
I know. Absolutely. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Russ Wilson, QB20.
Yep.
The weapons are in place. He has a competent coach. I'd feel more comfortable taking him with his situation, his contract, than probably three quarters of the quarterbacks taking the round before. Like, he's a super value. We've overcompensated for a bad season.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, he was one I was looking at as a spade as well, because you're right. I mean, QB 20, that's a little bit too much for one bad season with a very bad coaching staff. you know, obviously Sean Payton's there now. They got some good weapons already around him. I think the offense will be obviously better. Yeah, QB 20. I mean, you're essentially getting him as a QB 2, and he has QB 1 upside. So
you're almost getting him as a QB 3 right now.
Yeah,
at this point. And I'd probably fade Pittman a little bit. There's some receivers going a round or two later that I'd rather have than him at this point.
Yeah, I like Pittman, but you're right. I mean, they're going to have a rookie quarterback there.
It pains me because I loved Pittman last year. It was just a mess.
Absolutely. All right, let's move down into the sixth round. I'll call these out real quick. We got DeAndre Swift at the top. Hold on, let me scroll down on your screen too. DeAndre Swift, Christian Watson, Rashad White, Derek Carr, Derek Henry, Brock Purdy, Javonte Williams, Trey Lance, DJ Moore, TJ Hockenson, and Terry McLaurin are here in the sixth round. Nick, you got a spade here?
TJ Hockenson at the end of the round. I mean, he showed more life in Minnesota than he ever did with Detroit. And he wasn't bad with Detroit. Right. He was just that much better with Minnesota. So if I can get my starting tight end in the sixth round, I'm taking it all day, every day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's he has the upside to be a top two or three tight end, and he's being tight end four all the way in the where are we at, the sixth round? Yeah, that's a good call. I like that one. What about you, Ryan? You got a spade here?
Yeah. Remember last year in draft season when Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey had similar injuries, but one was going top five overall and the other was going fourth round, third round? We're doing the exact same thing with Javonte Williams. We're double penalizing him when he could be getting back at a similar time than Breece Hall and just punishing for that. When he was on the field, he's been nothing but fantastic. He's been effective in the passing and obviously as a rusher, but very effective as a pass catcher. We're looking at a potential RB1 here in this round.
Yeah, that's a really good call, and that's where I was going to go too. So you kind of stole my thunder there. But Javonte Williams, yeah, I think he's a – and that's a good comparison there to last year with Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley, Breece Hall and Javonte Williams. You know, their disparity in ADP is huge, and situations are very similar. And, yeah, if that offense takes a step forward like we hope that it will, Williams is going to be a steal there. It's RB19. He's almost at the bottom of the RB2 range. So, yeah, for sure, I like Javonte Williams. Nick, you got a fade in this round?
Can I say all the quarterbacks?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a fair comment. That's acceptable.
Trey Lance in the sixth round. Brock Purdy and Trey Lance in the sixth round. I'm not taking them anywhere near here. Just, I don't know what's going on there. We don't know what's going on there. I'm not taking a flyer on them in the sixth round.
Yeah, it's a swing and miss type situation, and they're so close in ADP. It's not like you could probably take one and then get the other one later on just to help yourself. You're basically going to take two picks basically in the same area to secure that position there. And is that position even going to be that good? I mean, we saw Brock Purdy last year be good NFL-wise, but he wasn't putting up huge fantasy numbers. You know, he was good. He wasn't like great. And then Trey Lance, we haven't seen much of him at all, unless he can get his legs back and he puts up some rushing stats. But then again, if you miss on one of those guys, you just wasted your pick, because it's not like it was like, you know, it's not a receiver or a running back where they still might get some mixed in. They're basically going to be a bench player unless one of them gets hurt. So, yeah, I agree. That's definitely a little bit of a reach for me. What about you, Ryan? You got a fade here?
Do you guys think like their ADP is based off vastly different ways they're drafted? Like the area they're like, people are taking either one of them super high and the other super low in every draft, and it flip flops. Because I don't see them going in the sixth round. I feel like it's reaches and nobody knows what to do with them.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because you're right. I mean, it probably is. Someone believes in Purdy, taking him way too high, and then Lance falls in that. And then someone believes in Lance, and it's vice versa. And then it just kind of averages out to the sixth round, which is where they're both sitting at right now.
Yeah, because every draft I've been in so far, rookie or startup-wise, it's been one's gone vastly later than the other. Like, it's been like a 2 to 3 round difference.
Yep.
But it's switched orders either time. So I'm going to just say whatever one of these guys is drafted first is what I don't want. And I'm fading. If one falls Yes, but at this range, no of them. But like in general, I think one falls late, like eighth round, I'm going to snag him up.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% there. I have Christian Watson as a fade there at wide receiver 22.
It's only a reach.
It's a bit of a reach for me. People are kind of betting on those last, was it six or seven games that he kind of went, he went bonkers there for a little bit. Obviously, Jordan Love's now his quarterback. That offense, we assume, takes a step back. There's more weapons there. They got, you know, drafted two tight ends, drafted another receiver. It's going to be spread out more. I'm a little worried about him there. I'd take guys like DJ Moore, even Terry McLaurin there at the end. I would take over Christian Watson in this round. So he's a little bit too high for me. I think people are betting on the upside there at receiver 22, and I just don't know if I want to spend that capital on him.
Can I add one more fade real quick?
Yep, absolutely.
Rashad White, running back 17. I mean, I don't know if y'all seen what's coming out of what they, what their quarterback room right now.
Yeah,
but
it's dog shit.
Yeah.
In all honesty, one of us could go out there and probably throw the ball better.
Yes.
And that's what White thrived off of. Him and Fournette both thrived off of catching the ball.
Yep.
So I'm fading him any chance I get.
Yeah, you're probably going to make Jamie mad in the chat because I know Jamie loves Rashad White. So, but yeah, I think he's RB 17, 64th overall. A little rich for my blood, that's for sure. Like Javonte Williams, we just talked about, is going what, five or six picks later.
I'd much rather have Williams over him.
Absolutely. All right, let's do one more round here. What round are we in? Is this round eight?
Seven.
All right, round seven. We got Treylon Burks at the top, George Pickens, Aaron Rodgers, George Kittle, Jerry Jeudy, Dallas Goedert, the aforementioned Jimmy Garoppolo is going in this round, Brandon Ayuk, Deontay Johnson, Miles Sanders, Amari Cooper, and Cam Akers. Ryan, I'll go to you first this time. Pick either one, fade or spade, whatever one you want to do.
Man, I had a lot of spades in this round. I had a couple I want to talk about, but I want to talk about Miles Sanders. That Carolina offense ran the ball a lot last year with running backs who were nowhere near the quality he was. They also passed their running backs a good bit. And Miles Sanders is surprisingly younger than everybody thinks he is because he's been in the league forever since he was like 19 or 20.
Yeah.
He's a good, good running back in a situation where he's going to be used a lot. Like he's going to get, I could see him that 250 carry range this year and 40 to 50 targets. He's going to be fantasy gold for 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, going back to Rashad White, I mean, being taken, what, a round and a half later, Miles Sanders. I'm taking Miles Sanders over Rashad White all day, every day, for the same reasons you just mentioned there. I love Miles Sanders. I've been getting him in a lot of my best ball leagues, too. I think he's going to be good this year. I think health is his only concern. If he can just stay healthy, I think he's going to be great this year. So, yeah, I love Miles Sanders there as a spade. Nick, what you got? Pick a spade or a fade, whatever one you want to do.
Spade, I got to go Jerry Jeudy. I think he's an underdog in this. Like we were saying about Russell Wilson, he's got a much more competent head coach now. I think he's in for a great season. I'm picking him up. I traded for him in a couple leagues. But one other comment I want to make about Miles Sanders. I can't remember what position he has now, but Deuce Staley was his running back coach in Philly his first three seasons. He thrived under Deuce. So I think it's going to be the same way here in Carolina.
Yep. Dude. Yep. That's a good call. I like that. And I like the Jerry Jeudy pick as well, because that kind of goes along with one of my fades. I'm fading Treylon Burks at that top of the round there at 73 overall. Because of guys like Jerry Jeudy, I would take over him. I'd take Deontay Johnson over him. I'd probably even consider taking Brandon Ayuk over him. I mean, Treylon Burks, he's potentially going to have Will Levis as his quarterback. I know Tannehill's still there, but I mean, Tannehill wasn't great last year. And if Will Levis, you know, eventually gets the start, we got Burks and Levis. It's not really a combination that I'm really excited to have at that ADP. So Burks is a guy I'm definitely fading for sure. Any more guys in this round that either of y'all want to mention real quick?
I think Amari Cooper could be a little bit of a steal at wide receiver 30.
Yeah, that's a good call. Because he's still a receiver one there, and as long as the D-hop doesn't go there. But at the end of the round there, that's a really good call. Because, yeah, you're right. I think I would take him over a couple of those receivers. Brandon Ayuk probably would go. I'd go over him. I'd move him up over a couple of those guys. So, yeah, I like Amari Cooper.
I like Pickens there, 26, too.
Yeah.
He really came on strong last year in his rookie year. And when him and Pickett are going to grow together, he's going to be their wide receiver one, bar none.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of ADP differences, go look at, I know it's a little bit different situation, but if you go look at their stats last year, look at George Pickens' stats right next to Drake London's stats. They're almost identical. Obviously, I think London had a ton more targets. Pickens had the bigger plays. But as far as yards, touchdowns, and all that stuff goes, they were very similar. And you're getting Drake London at the first round, and you're getting Pickens all the way back here at the end. Situations are similar at quarterback, too. Both of them got second-year quarterback, so it's not the quarterback you're worried about either. So Pickens, yeah, I think Pickens is definitely a spade here for sure. All right, that wraps up Spade or Fade. Here at GoingFor2.com, we do one-hour podcast dedicated solely to your fantasy football league. A panel of fantasy analysts will rank your teams from worst to first. And then we also give you trade advice. We give, you know, deep analysis on your team, what you could do to improve it. And that also includes any, you know, if you haven't done your rookie drafts yet, we'll give you draft advice. For as little as $8.50 a person in a 12-man league, it's basically $100 for a league. We do Dynasty, we do Redraft, we do Vampire, Superflex, IDP, we've done contract leagues. We actually have one coming up in a couple of weeks. It's a super flex league, PPR. That's a pretty standard league, but we're getting ready to do one of those pretty soon. If you want one for your league, go to goingfor2.com/PLP. Again, that's goingfor2.com/PLP, where the PLP stands for Personal League Podcast. And I can't find my drop here. It's here somewhere. Okay, maybe my drop is not here. All right. Oh, here it is. Here we go.
Go ahead. Ask me anything.
All right. Mailbag. Let me pull up the mailbag here because for some reason I can't get my Evernote to work on my computer. So I'm going to have to pull it up on my phone. All right. First one here, Ryan. It comes from Salad Bar. If you're the ETN owner in Dynasty, how big of a priority is it to grab Tank as a handcuff? Over guys like Rashawn Johnson and wide receiver Jalen Reed?
It's not to me, like, at all. Like, I think Rashawn Johnson has a clear path to a starting running back, and I would rather have a starting back than a backup on team where I could have two people starting instead of just ETN or Tank, and then same as Jalen Reed, I like his upside. I'm just not there for taking, at the point where you're drafting him, I'm not there. I'm taking a backup running back.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same mindset. What about you, Nick?
I think we're going to make it all agreement.
Yep. Sweep that one. Because, yeah, for sure. I'm the same way with Ryan. You know, if I'm taking a handcuff, it's a handcuff that I'm getting dirt cheap that only has value if my starter gets hurt. The guys that have, you know, standalone value potentially like Tank does in the ADP that you're taking him at, it's not worth it because you're not going to put both of those guys in lap at the same time. Tank is only valuable to you if ETN is hurt. But if you have a guy like Roshan Johnson who could potentially win that starting job, now you got two starters with Travis ETN and Roshan Johnson. So, yeah, I agree. This next one is from FFS. I'm assuming that stands for fuck's sakes. Trade on the table is a Superflex half point PPR. Which side of these do you want, Nick? Team A gets Trevor Lawrence. And Team B gets Garrett Wilson and Rashad Bateman. What do you think here? Superflex League.
I would almost rather have Trevor Lawrence. I love Garrett Wilson, but it's primarily the Rashad Bateman that gets me. It's the exact same thing that they drafted Zay Flowers. They pretty much threw Hollywood Brown to the garbage when they drafted Rashad Bateman. What's to stop them from doing this with Zay Flowers?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. And I agree. I think Trevor Lawrence is the prize here because you really you're taking two receivers that still have some question marks. Bateman's got question marks. Garrett Wilson, we all love, obviously, but I just don't know in the Superflex League if you're counting that, especially with the half point PPR part of things too. What about you, Ryan? Are you on the same side?
Yeah. Yeah, I want the elite player there. Trevor Lawrence is a budding superstar. There's a world where he could be the number one pick in Dynasty.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Like, that's in his realm of possibilities.
Yep, good call. We got a question in the chat here. Let me see if this is an actual trade question or is Jamie trying to be funny. I never know with Jamie. Would you trade away Quentin Johnson and Rondell Moore for JSN?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
without hesitation, Rondell Moore, nobody cares about him.
Yep, and maybe I don't really like Quentin Johnson either. So, yeah, it's JSN side for me for sure. All right, this next one here, Nick, is from Ray Oblander. He said, actually, you know what? I'm gonna go to you, Ryan, first, because I know this is your
boy. I was hoping you'd go to him first.
I'm gonna go to you first because I forgot this one. I got saved for you. Would you trade ETN, DK Metcalf, and a 24 first for Justin Jefferson?
I'm gonna start this out with saying this is the best trade I've ever seen for Justin Jefferson. Like, this is a strong trade. If I was a Justin Jefferson owner, I would set this trade. This would sit in my inbox for a week, and I would just stare at it and not know what to do. Like, this is a fair trade. And if you needed more depth on your team, I wouldn't be upset if you took the package.
Yeah.
On this, because dude, it's a lot for him. It is. That's a lot for any player. You're getting a top 12 wide receiver, a top 12 running back. And we don't know where that first is going to be, but it should be a good draft class. That's a strong package for him.
Yeah.
I would strongly consider it. Like, it's a 51-49 either way. It's freaking close. That's a great trade.
Yeah. What about you, Nick? Are you on the same boat here?
Yeah, pretty much. I think you'll be happy either way with this. I have all three, or I own all three in most of my leagues. ETN and DK, I have in more leagues. So I'm leaning that side a little bit.
Yeah.
But Jefferson's a freaking monster.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing I would say, it would take me seeing the entire team. Like, if he has Justin Jefferson and then a bunch of bums, like, he just has one of those teams where, like, he got Justin Jefferson in a draft and the rest of his guys kind of suck. And
it took, like, if he drafted Justin Jefferson, it'll. And like 10, and on come around and took Anthony Richardson.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that package could be nice if you have something like that for sure. That could make you, that can take you, if you're just Jefferson with a bunch of bums, it could take you from a back half of the first round picked all the way to the top. So yeah, I think I'm taking that as long as I've got the need for it. All right, Nick, this one's for you. He has Trevor Lawrence and Lamar Jackson in a 1 QB 12-team PPR. Obviously, you only play one. So which one you think is the better trade chip and how much is he worth? Lamar Jackson or Trevor Lawrence? Who are you trying to move here?
Lamar Jackson. I'm not selling Trevor for anything. Lamar, sell him while he still has some value. We don't know how he's going to be this season. I want to see him do good. But I'm selling him. I play in so many super flex leagues, it's hard for me to value in a 1 QB.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's a little bit different when you look at the 1 QB value. Ryan, I'm curious to your thoughts, because I know you're a Ravens fan here, so you might have some bias.
Whoever I can get more for. Dropping them both, and whoever I can get the biggest value from is who I'm trading.
Yeah.
I really don't care at this point. I have Lamar a little bit higher, but I love Trevor Lawrence. I think he's a superstar.
Yeah.
Like, it's whoever I get the most value at, you can't go wrong starting either one of them.
Yeah.
It is a waste having both one of them on your bench.
This is a good time to know your league, because if I had Ryan in my league, I'm selling him to Lamar Jackson, because I know Ryan loves Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, so. But I don't overpay for much.
Yeah, true. All right, so let's do one more here, and then we'll get to our forgotten fantasy player. And I'll go to you, Nick. This is from Ray Oblander again. If you already have Kyle Pitts, should you avoid trading for Drake London? Seems like a passing offense you don't want to be super invested in. So he's got Kyle Pitts. Wants to know, should he go out and get Drake London too?
Okay, so I've always had the policy, only one person per offense. So I'm saying if you have Kyle Pitts, maybe trade him to bring in London or hold Pitts. I mean, it's one of those two.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have both on my offense.
Yeah, the only way I'm doing it, if it's like the Chiefs offense and it's like a Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce situation, but in the Atlanta offense, I'm not sure I want to have both of those guys there. What about you, Ryan?
If I love London and I think he's going to be the guy, I'm going to get him with the intention of trading Pitts, because every league has a Pitts person, no matter what. And he still has... There's a good chance we get news in the camp with Kyle Pitts makes like 3 one-handed catches. Everybody loses their mind again. Yeah,
exactly.
Or if you hear news that he's connected with Desmond Ridder and they've formed a bond, that his value skyrockets him up in the ADP around, and you've just got London for a potentially cheaper price, you can move Pitts for an absurd one, because it wasn't long ago he was the first round pick in Dynasty.
Yep.
I'm not going to keep them both, but if I got him for the right price, I would not do it. But there's going to be a move later to kind of correspond with it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about the news in camp. You know, we just need one news blurb to say, oh, he's lining up as receiver, and then boom, his value goes through the roof.
He is the perfect camp news fodder. Mm-hmm. Like, I guarantee there's going to be a point where there's news about either one of them, actually, but at tight end, it's extra special. And people are going to lose their mind, and you're going to be able to sell him for whatever you want.
Yeah, agreed 100%. All right, let's get to our forgotten fantasy player now.
Get ready for goingfor2.com's forgotten fantasy player of the week.
All right, Nick, what you got for us?
All right, got ourselves a wide receiver. He was drafted in the 3rd round by Denver.
Demaryius Thomas.
No.
He thought he had
2010.
It. 3rd round, Denver, 2010.
Okay.
He played with them until 2013, where he went to the Jets.
Oh, Eric Decker.
Yep.
Yes. I was thinking Eric Decker before you said Jets, but as soon as you said Jets, I was like,
2010 felt too new for Eric Decker.
It did.
Oh my God, I feel old.
Part of the reason I remember him so fondly, his second year with the Jets, they had Ryan Fitzpatrick. It was the year that they almost made the playoffs. They were 10-6.
Yeah. And they had Brandon Marshall too, right? Didn't they both have huge seasons that year? Yeah, that's
Eric Decker's one of my all-time favorite fantasy players. He might be my most rostered player of all time.
Really?
Yeah. Like, back in the redraft days, like pre-Dynasty.
Yeah.
He was a stud.
Yeah, he definitely was a stud.
He's caught touchdowns. That might be one of the quickest we've gotten.
Yeah, we had 2 hints on that one. We did one with 1 hint, but yeah, that was 2 hints. And then Jamie in the chat had it too, but he said I got it right before he was able to send it in the chat, because he had to type it and I just had to say it. But yeah, good call. I was thinking Eric Decker right before you said Jets, but the moment you said Jets, I knew right away who it was. Good one. Great, for sure. All right, Nick, I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight. It's been a lot of fun. If you want to quickly give everybody your Twitter handle one more time, and if you wanted to plug anything that y'all are doing over at Dynasty Pros.
Yeah, so y'all can follow me at YoungStudFF. Come check us out over at Dynasty Pros. We're trying to grow. Our Devy team is doing some great stuff over there. We actually got a 3-round mock that we're putting out right now. Definitely worth coming to take a look at.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Ryan, what you got going on?
Same old. Boss 534 here Wednesday nights. Rookie Big Board on Wednesday mornings. And yeah, about it.
All right. As always, guys, you can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. If you are out there listening and you are potentially, or maybe you already are, in the Scott Fishbowl, go to my Twitter and click on my Discord link in my profile. We are doing mock drafts every day, 2, 3, 4 at a time. We've got private rooms for every draft spot. So if you know your draft spot already, you can join the league. And then you are joining the Discord, and you can be put into that draft spot. We have a main lobby where everybody's kind of talking strategy. And then once we get the scoring and everything else down, then we're going to have some live audio shows in the Discord with some guest speakers coming on to talk about Scott Fishbowl and different strategies and stuff like that. So if you're not already in there, go join. Again, it's in my Twitter handle. You just look in the profile. Or if you don't have Twitter, you go to goingfor2.com. There's a link there at the very bottom left of the web page there. You can join. All right. That's another great show. For Nick, for Ryan, I'm Jeff. We will see y'all next week.